my buddy.
Yeah, and they said they would send us an email at the time for the second.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And that, what is that, 21 day?
24 to 28 days.
24 to 28. Okay, shall we start, folks?
Oh, Amber Nita is here.
Oh, she is there? I know he's not. Hello, Amber Nita. All right, it's 5 o'clock, so let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. I don't believe we have any consent items for this meeting. We do have a quorum present. The first thing we have on the agenda, which you all received, are the minutes from our last meeting, which seems like a long time ago, but it was December 17th of 2020. Are there any questions or comments on the minutes from that meeting? Somebody would like to...
Move
thank you. Pete has made a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The minutes from that meeting are approved. And we're going to go to reports. We have the services report is next up. Spencer?
This is actually for...
Is it for Lisa?
Lisa.
Okay.
And this will be Lisa's last report to the board. So.
Aww.
But I'm not turning in my resignation letter until I get that second shot.
Smart woman.
Lady of the shot.
Yes. Smart woman. Well, maybe we'll get to see you the next time that we're here. I don't know, but just on behalf of myself and the board, thank you for everything over the years, Lisa. It's always been a pleasure coming here and seeing you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to miss you terribly. Thank you so much for everything you've done. Hey, thank you so much.
So, my report, I write about some of the things we've been able to purchase. You know, we got the building, and we filled it up, and we're continuing to have an inflow of new things. Some items for the public, some items for the staff. If you look outside here at the tables, if you look at the table legs, you'll see where those batteries are. Lots of the tables are sort of, they're not, what would you call it?
They call it a knife edge. These are for the ones for the outside, not in the room.
Yeah, they have a knife edge, and so we couldn't attach the batteries just here. So
just the angle.
Attach them to the table legs. But it really makes our furnishings go farther because otherwise people just walk around looking for some place to plug things in and out. Every table is set up for that. We've got the 4 Singer sewing machines that we haven't figured out just what we're going to do with yet, but that might be team programming. They might just be set up on certain days of the week for people to come in and use.
Oh, that would be nice.
So that's fun. And then hopefully you were able to look at the Charlie Cart website to see the mobile kitchen. We saw this at the Austin Public Library, and we're just going to store it right in the back there. And pull it out. It comes with a whole curriculum with utensils and pots and pans and a sink. And so you all will see that in the next year, probably.
Wow.
Laptops and iPads. This week, especially since we took out all of our back of the house furniture and cubbies and desks, the staff have been like, where's my computer? Well, it's on the shelf up here. So they have been able to keep doing their work with the iPads and laptops. Sometimes they come in here for a couple hours, you know, just anywhere in the library to work. They've had to be flexible. Our new furniture back there is about halfway done. It's smaller than the furniture that originally came with this building, but it's going to have a nice, clean look, and hopefully we can maintain that look for a few weeks. So those are new things that are coming in. Alicia is here at a new podium. And so we'll have to, when it just came in today, so we've got to get it all wired up and everything. But we do have that too. Staff, after COVID, we did have a lot of frozen positions. And that didn't hurt so much when we were just opening, when we weren't so busy. But now that we are busy, you know, we're very happy to be able to fill some of those. We usually would have 4 shelver positions, and we only had 1 for months. So I think we're going to offer 3 of those positions soon, this week, next week. Then the library assistant part-time positions, we'll be able to fill those. And once we have those people in place, that will allow our other staff to spend more time on planning programs, doing other things that are important and not just shelving and doing curbside, although we love to do curbside in the rain. So we've been talking about the COVID shot. This was a great thing that the city of McKinney has gotten involved with. And, you know, a month ago when the fire department got its first batch of vaccines, and offered it up to the staff if they wanted to sign up. Boy, I mean, talk about a perk.
Uh-huh.
You know, so next round is next Monday. So we'll get our second shots. They've been needing volunteers to help with data entry, and several of our library employees did that today. I don't know how many more days we'll be able to help with that, but you know, it sure is a good cause. And that's about all I have. Any questions?
No, that's a lot.
I have a question just about the batteries. Do you have to, how long do they stay charged?
It depends on how often people plug into them.
Okay.
So what we do is every morning, we pull the ones that have less than 4 dots. If they just have 1 dot or 2 dots or no dots, we pull those out. We've got a big bank of charging ones, and so we switch them out in the morning. And then also in the afternoon, we can kind of just walk around and push the button to see how much energy's left and pull a couple of them to replace. But usually just once a day, we switch them out.
Early on, I think we had someone who worked at one for in between 3 and 4 hours plugged in, and their battery was full when they started, and it was still full when it stopped working, but it kind of lasted that long.
Wow.
And so, again, depending on how often that's used, we're able to move around.
Very good. Thank you for the great report, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Spencer, is it time for your report now?
Yes.
Okay.
And before I get this, there was a question sent in to Alicia for me to address. When RB Digital, which was our audiobook platform, was purchased by a competitor, you know, a lot of things changed. We migrated all of our audiobooks over to Cloud Library, which has been great. People are finding them more. They're doing fine. But we did lose magazines. The way that the magazines worked through that app was you just bought them. You picked in, from a cart, and you got the ones that you thought would go, and you paid a reasonable price for them. And so we ended up, all in all, spending about $6,000 a year on digital magazines, and we got pretty good bang for our buck for what we got. We've been investigating different alternatives since then. Even the product that we had under the new owner has changed its model of how it's going to operate. The vendor that we have for our ebooks and our audiobooks is starting to offer them. They're kind of an all or nothing model. So you get access to 1,000 magazines, but the quality of 990 of those magazines is not the best. You know, they're things that people don't ask for. They're, it's the French version of people, you know, things that here might not go as well as other things. So we're still investigating. We have a meeting with some other groups next week, and we're looking at some platforms that will offer newspapers as well as magazines, specifically Dallas Morning News, Washington Post, all in there as part of the package. It looks like, regardless of which way we go, we're going to end up spending 3 to 4 times as much money as we did before, just because of the available options. Mm-hmm. Mike ran down a specific vendor where you could still pick and choose, but if we went through and tried to replicate what we had before, it would have been $650,000. So some people really like their digital magazines and value them highly. So we're still working on it. We're still trying to find, if we're going to do that, we want to make sure it's the best choice, not just one that fits with something we have. So I don't have a timeline, but I know that it's been a while. And we've been monitoring kind of anecdotally when we get questions about it. And it's 1 or 2 a month that we get, but it's something that we'd like to offer. So we are still hunting those down.
Thank Good. You. I really like that.
What are some of the most popular ones?
It was when we had it at Texas Highways, Texas Monthly, were always on the top. And then the weeklies, the entertainment magazines and those things were always pretty high. And then I think New Yorker did okay. But typically it was just a smattering after that. Those were the big ones. Family Handyman was always very popular
really?
As well. I might be confusing that with another similar title that does similar things, but bottom line is it appears most of the options available to us are going to be kind of all or nothing models, and we just want to make sure that all provides the value that would get used. And we think if we could get the Dallas Morning News and potentially several international papers, that could really be something to brag about and advertise and get those numbers in. Not the New York Times. They have their own digital subscription, and it's like the price of the all or nothing altogether. So, into the report. Wrapping up December, going into January. As you see today, when you came in, we are phasing in-person programming. We're making sure that we keep the numbers limited. And to do that, we're offering them as hybrid models, so you can attend online or in person. I believe today's simple sewing, which is not using the sewing machines.
It's really simple.
Yeah, we get a sewing program after we buy sewing machines, and it's not using the sewing machines. But it's a start. And I think when they had that the first time, there was overflow. Too many people came. We had to split them up. But our meditative mandala is what you see here. That's similar to how they work. We do require masks. We do spread people out. We've had, so far, pretty good success. Our entire spring calendar is available online. Okay. We did not print them up this year. We had a lot of success, relative success, with our online stuff in the past, just having the digital. And then as spring progresses, if we get, mass vaccinations, if this is just the tip of the iceberg and we go this smoothly for days on end, we want to have, with the hybrid model, that flexibility to say, well, today we can switch that to where more people can come in person, or we cut it back to where fewer people can, and we can go online with the hybrid model. That's what we're looking for. And then any big programs we do this spring will likely be outside. If and when we do them. I know I'm planning a golf program to coincide with the Byron Nelson, and that we are looking at having outside here. So those things are coming. And again, as I said, December program attendance was down 78%, which is actually amazing. Compared to where we were, in the summer and at other times. But our Facebook engagements have really gone up. So that's a positive thing for us. If we flip over to the next page, so we did complete one of our kind of program goals, council goals for last year, Stephanie Harrison, which I believe reported to us for the Hall Reimagining team. We keep her busy. She also created this self-guided walking tour of downtown. It's right about a kilometer. I think it's actually like 1,000 yards or somewhere along that in non-metric measurements. And so she actually did the research historically, looking through our resources to find all the original shops on the square through periods of time, and then would find newspaper articles relating to them, and worked with Main Street, with Amy Rosenthal, to find a local actor to provide voice talent. So if you download the app and you start walking from place to place, it'll follow you and it will narrate the stories of the saloons as you're going around the square. So it's a first step in something that we might do more of moving forward, to really highlight our local history collection and the information we have there. And you can also look at it from home if you just don't want to walk around the square. It's not as fun, but it is possible. So that was something we're, sorry?
I said you don't get wet.
Yes. That was something we were working on for a while, so I'm very proud of the work Stephanie did to get that done. What you'll see on the numbers is circulation was down 13%. That's total circulation, and keep in mind we're still comparing a 3-week checkout now versus a 2-week checkout then. And if you look at initial checkouts just here at John and Judy Gay, it was only down like 5%. So while our visits are down a little bit, people are checking out more when they come in. And I think here we're seeing that the displays are working very well, the way the collection's laid out. People are finding things very easily, the way our customer service is working with the zones. We're able to help people get things as we go through. And then computer use is down 21%. That's still thousands of sessions in that month. And it's actually, historically, there are fewer sessions at this location because it's a lot of Wi-Fi use and we don't capture that. Now, if we were to capture Wi-Fi use, that number would be through the roof as well. But the ability to do that is hard because the system we have would like kick them off the Wi-Fi every hour and a half and they'd have to reagree to the permissions and all that. And then no one wants to be halfway through a job interview or a homework session and have something cut off. And then even though our circulation is down, our holds filled are actually up 33%. So that's curbside. And it's not just curbside. People are coming in, they're placing on hold, they're coming in, they're getting things, and they're leaving. And so I think we're spending quite a bit more time pulling those, getting those set up. And then this is something that I like to brag about. Last year, the average time after you placed an item on hold to when it was ready to pick up was 15 days. And we'd gotten that down. That was our goal a few years ago, was to get it down to 15 days. This December, it was 4 days. Now, part of that is because people are putting a lot more holds on things that are on the shelf, which makes us look really good because we were able to fill them very, very quickly. But it's also how we've changed how we're ordering things. More copies of more popular materials, the ebook copies that are being purchased a little heavier, for those copies to supplement as well.
And I just want to say I agree with that completely, because I was going to ask you, I was getting my hold so much more quickly, and I've got two of them over there to pick up right now, yeah. So thank you for that.
And that's been a conscious effort that we've been trying to find that right number. We typically will hold, we'll want one copy for every four holds. Especially if it's a pre-order book, we're able to judge that and we buy copies up. And then eventually, some will fall apart, some will never come back, some will, move out later on. But that, is really helping us kind of meet that demand. And yes, it looks like we've got a zillion copies of every James Patterson book. And that's because we do, because that's what people want to read. And when they don't want to read them, then they'll go away and the next set comes in because we can't hold them all. I think some of our selectors are doing a very good job on that. And similar to the purchase suggestions, I think we're accepting a much higher percentage of those or moving them to ILL if there's something, you know, that's a, you know, an operatic libretto from, you know, some academic text or something like that. But typically we're trying to focus on that customer-driven acquisition. And we actually find there's a lot of discussion in the profession about the diversity of the collection. Like there's in every aspect of life right now. We find when we focus on the customer-driven acquisition and the popular materials acquisition, that solves itself. You know, we have a diverse community. We focus on getting what our community members want. And so far, it seems to be working for us. I think, other than slowly trying to get Hall, you know, those things that we showed you last time, mm-hmm. getting them brought up and a plan to actually start making those changes. There are some other small things. AARP will be offering tax help this year. It'll be different. It'll be by appointment only. People will pick up a packet. That packet will have instructions for a number for them to call to set up an appointment and tell them what all to bring. Hall will basically be a drop-off location, and the preparers will be working independently in those rooms upstairs, separate from the taxpayers. And then they'll set up a time to come back and pick them up.
When are they going to start that, Spencer? Do you know?
Should be the first Monday in February. Tuesday, because they'll be working Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, the IRS is delayed.
Yes. Yeah, they won't accept anything before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of just finalized that. You can pick up the envelope and packets here, but all the appointments are going to be at our downtown location. And then you talked about the hiring. So that is going to be, you know, more people coming on board or filling us back up to regular attendance. And then once Lisa gives me a date, then
I'm
we will.
Giving them a date.
I know. Once it's official,
I think you don't want to go, Lisa.
Once it's official, then we will look to post that position. However, we will move Helen Talley from Roy and Helen Hall to be manager at this branch, and we'll be hiring specifically for someone to be the manager downtown at that location. That's the gist of what we've got going on right now. Any questions?
I have a couple of sort of other questions.
Yes, sir.
Have we actually used this thing as an auditorium yet?
We were set to do it. We didn't know we were set to do it. We were set to do it earlier this week because HR had a meeting in here, but they did not request for it to be set up that way until they arrived for the meeting. And we need advance notice so we can put these away and pull that out. So I believe there will be future, in the near future, demand for that. I also don't know that they understand the spacing limitations, because you can really like fit maybe two people per row all the way across if you're spacing appropriately.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they realize that they can't actually hold 50 people on this.
Not in COVID now.
You know, when I was in last week, we shredded the book.
Yeah.
Is there a modification the vendor could make to allow us to raise that bar to clear a jam?
There are lots of reasons that things will jam and get destroyed. It really doesn't happen that often. Like it happens, but again, that's why we order the 25 copies of the book.
Do we feed back to the vendor what's going on?
Yes, they have come out and added pieces and changed out pieces. Most recently, it was there was a guard on one section to keep the books from going in a certain angle. So they do come out for maintenance, and we do give feedback on that. Most often when it happens, it's because two books kind of jam together and then it sticks somewhere and the conveyor belt moves through, and it's I don't want to say much more common because that makes it sound like it happens often, but paperbacks and especially thin children's paperbacks are probably the most likely to get ruined in that way. But I don't think it's at a rate where we're like, oh, well, that's the, you know, that's every day that we're having to do this. It's not doing that.
No, and we're doing some things like some of the fancy new Harry Potter books that have the ribbon through mm-hmm. the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're cutting that ribbon because,
smart.
We don't want things to get stuck in there, like mm-hmm. ribbons and start dragging the book down.
Which is why we discontinued lending the book bags, because that would
right.
add to that. Mm-hmm. Those would get caught all over the place.
Compliment about the holds. You know, I mostly read, I say contemporary fiction, mm-hmm. you know, the more popular items, but anytime I'm on a Facebook group or something and someone says, I love this book, you know, I've got my library card stored in my phone.
Me too.
I copy it and I paste it in the website, and 99% of the time we all have the book, and then like 3 days later I get the email that it's there for me, and it's been incredible.
Yeah,
we just got
that's
like
good.
Six books the other day, mm-hmm. and they were all the ones I wanted, and it was like Christmas.
I know.
It does
know.
Seem like we've had a few emails lately of people saying it's too many. Like, how do I not